A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast powered by the OBBM Network. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
Doing great. Happy Monday, partner.
Happy Monday, man. We have an amazing show today that really warms my heart because, you know, when we talk about PTS and we talk about, you know, childhood traumas, it really it pulls at my heartstrings, and I haven't been able to fully get the impact of healing through a lot of things. And the process that 220, our guests that are going to bring to us today, really has some, brings a lot of hope and a lot of you know, rejuvenation of, you know, not being so, oh my God, this failed. This brings a lot of hope to me as a person. So I can't wait to hear the story.
Yeah. And speaking of hope, you know, over the weekend up in Little Elm, had a great experience with being able to help, just like the title of our podcast tonight, Healing Our Heroes, is to help those guys up there heal. John, do you want to tell us a little bit about the fundraiser?
Sure. I mean, we did two amazing things this weekend when we talk about making a difference when it comes to healing our heroes with Little Elm. We had Officer Flynn was in a serious motorcycle accident in Little Elm, and he was off duty doing a duty gig, if that makes sense to people, because a lot of officers work off duty. They have assigned off duty work approval.
Assignment.
So he was doing an escorted funeral, and he was involved in a serious motorcycle wreck, broke his back, both his legs, his ankles, the bottom of his feet. I mean, he is just all tore up. It's going to be a long road to recovery, and he does not get paid for, you know, time lost. He does go on long-term disability, but that's going to run out. And, you know, what I found out is that ambulance service, just going back and forth to the rehab center and to doctors in his wheelchair, is over $400 per visit. So that's out-of-pocket expense on a lot of the stuff. A lot of Little Elm has come out. A lot of the motorcycle clubs have come out and really helped support him. But go to Little Elm PD. Reach out to Sean, Officer Sean Kenny, if you can help in any way, and see what he needs, because he's going to have a long road ahead of him. But it was an amazing turnout. A lot of good vendors. They did a lot of good raffles, so I think they raised a lot of money.
It's going to be a long road from, you know, previous guests that we've had on, not only physically, but also the mentally, because there'll be a lot to deal with. And our guests today are no stranger to when shit goes sideways, you know, what you have to do to really kind of put yourself back together, not how you were pre-trauma, but help to live how you are now post-trauma. Some people call it post-traumatic growth. And the guys from 220, they have been immersed in the science. They know what works. They are both combat veterans. And we want to welcome Nick Davis and Dan Jarvis to the podcast. Welcome, guys, to a Badge of Honor podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate the invite.
Thank you. You know, you guys have done your research, and, you know, just pre-show, we would talking about brain mapping, and even with how TBIs play a factor into post-traumatic stress. You know, there's one thing, when I got on a job back in 1990, you know, they gave me that, you know, that psychological exam, you know, do you love your mother, do you hate your mother, what's this butterfly look like, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the one thing, and they give you a medical where you got to bend over, cough, blah, but, you know, they never, ever look at a brain scan. they never say, hey, how is the stress of the job going to affect us? Because a lot of kids, football injuries, fights, whatever, they may have some sort of TBI that they do not know about that will affect them throughout their job. And that's something we can bring into either the military. Does the military give brain scans before you go in?
No.
And what you were saying is a TBI has a direct impact on how your coping mechanisms play out, how your stress levels play out, how everything plays out with post-traumatic stress. So I want to just dive right into this because there's a lot to digest, a lot to learn. You know, Dan or Nick, take the wheel, man, and drive us through this wonderful process.
Yeah, who would like to start in terms of telling everybody watching and listening about your backgrounds and how you started?
I jumped right into it. I was excited.
John's like, forget it. Nobody needs to know about you.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you kind of have to go back to where my story begins. And for me, I was an infantry squad leader. I deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan. I did time as a drill sergeant. And it was in my Afghan deployment in 2011, 2012 that I really had probably three good traumatic brain injuries in a course of about 2 months. Two were blast injuries, and one was a striker up armored hatch, about 150 pounds hitting my head as it wasn't locked in place. So, I would take the striker hatch over the IEDs preferably. So I had received what they labeled as a moderate traumatic brain injury. Half my men were medevaced out of Afghanistan due to the fighting. One of my soldiers was killed. I felt extremely responsible for. And really at the end of my deployment, everything kind of came unraveled when I got the Red Cross notice. My mom had passed away. So I had to leave theater about 2 weeks early to get home for the funeral. And my problem is, we're talking July of 2011 is when the IED blast occurred. And my mom passed away in February of 2012. So I'm finding myself after the funeral back in Alaska, and I'm not sleeping. The whole time I'm not sleeping. I'm literally exhausted. I've got your cognitive function is impaired. You can't make great decisions. And then, you're trying to do combat operations. But when I got back from my mom's funeral, the first thing I did was I had to get a place to live off base, and I went and got a case of beer. And guess what? I slept. For the first time, I was able to sleep, and it was with the assistance of alcohol. And this kind of went on for about a year. And then about 11 months after returning, it got to the point where the night sweats, the night terrors were so bad. And here I am in a leadership position. I'm a squad leader, staff sergeant. And why am I having this happen to me? I don't understand it. I'm the strong person. This shouldn't be happening to me. I've been a drill sergeant. I've deployed twice. I didn't know what was going on. And I started getting super, I guess the term would be hopeless. If this was the rest of my life, I'm not interested. And it was that one evening, March of 2013, I literally went to grab the rifle in the corner of my room. And I was at that point where I'm like, well, I can't ask for help because I'm not going to be that guy. I didn't want my men to lose respect. I didn't want my command to lose respect. And suicide became the option. And when I went to get the rifle, I heard the kids in the apartment running above me. And that stopped me. It kind of broke me out of that moment. I was like, whoa, stupid idea. I was fully triggered. So I was making zero logical sense. And it wasn't until that broke the state of my emotion that I realized, okay, I can't do this. And then the next morning I got a phone call. Ryan was one of my soldiers and said, Sergeant Jarvis, you hear about Corey? It's like, no, buddy, what happened? He shot and killed himself last night. And Corey was a soldier that was in the platoon I had just come out of. And I realized nobody saw it. Nobody knew it. This kid was a happy kid. He was an outgoing soldier. And how do we miss this? And coming to find out, his closest friends knew what happened, but none of us had an idea. And then I realized nobody knew that I was struggling. And I just kind of continued that. I say Corey saved my life. Unfortunately, it's when he took his own. And I just kept drinking every night, going to work. It's just like a rinse and repeat. And then I was, after my third surgery, I got medically retired. And then I traded one uniform right back for another. I went to work in law enforcement in Central Florida, and the weirdest thing happened. I felt normal again. So I did that for a couple years. And then, realizing that chasing kids through the swamps of Polk County was not really something for a 42-year-old guy at the time to do. And my ex-wife, we were married at the time. We talked about it, and it was time to, okay, I'm vested in the Florida retirement system. It's time for me to you know, pass that torch. I had too many combat injuries. It was time to go. And then everything came back with a vengeance. And then shortly after that, you know, my ex really got me to seek help. And I went to the VA like all the other veterans, and medication and talk therapy was all they wanted to do. And things just kind of got worse and worse and worse. And then the VA kind of fumbled the ball. They canceled some appointments on me. I couldn't get back in after the first cancellation for about four weeks. Second one was eight weeks. Yeah, I know. And I'll give you one guess as how many times they've called to see where I am. Zero. Mm-hmm. All right. So my ex brought a gentleman to the sheriff's office to do a training. He's a retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel. He invited me to a men's leadership retreat, and that's where I met Nick Davis. And that was the weekend, April of 2018, where we spoke 22-0 into existence. Nick helped me, you know, get things off the ground and started the nonprofit. And, you know, we've been joined at the hip ever since. We've become best of friends. And it's been one hell of a journey, and wouldn't be here and wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without this guy right here. So Nick, why don't you share your story?
That's amazing. I'm just, we got to take our first break. If you guys are just tuning into the podcast, we are talking with the founders of 22-0, Dan Jarvis and Nick Davis. We'll be right back with Nick to tell his story. Stay tuned, everybody.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We have our guests, Dan Jarvis and Nick Davis with 22-0. If you're just tuning in, Dan gave a story, a little bio of himself. Do a couple of things. Before we get into Nick, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things, Dan, that you brought up with the IAD explosions. Those were concussion injuries, correct?
All of them were concussion injuries, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people think to get a traumatic brain injury that you have to be directly struck in the head to sustain a TBI. But a concussion injury can do just as much damage as a strike, correct?
Well, the actual strike would probably turn you into something you don't want to be turned into.
But I mean, just by a football injury, you know.
Blast injury.
Do the same thing, a blast injury.
Yeah, it's overpressure. Your head is just bouncing around inside your skull. So a car crash, football, playing football, soccer, hitting a soccer ball with your head, just falling, slipping on ice. There's so many different ways to get a concussion. Skiing, you know, snowboarding, you know, you name it. It's your head is very vulnerable.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to bring up, because people could be suffering from a TBI and not know it. So that's why it's so important to really, if you're feeling changes in your mental health, it could be a direct form from a TBI. The second thing I wanted to touch on was the not recognizing the signs that you were battling. Now, we all go through this, and we see this time and time again. He's such a happy-go-lucky guy. I don't understand why he did this. And that's what me and Sam try to bring the awareness point so much to say, you know, we got to take one step further than, how are you doing? I'm fine. Okay, let's move on. We really have to take that next step. And that's what we got to start teaching everybody. So I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, thank God for those kids, you know, or you wouldn't be here right now. That's God's sign saying, hey, we're not ready to take you yet. But thank God that somebody saw it, God saw it, and said, hey, listen, if no one else is seeing it, I'm putting these kids there. So thank you for sharing that. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nick?
Yeah, I was six, and my mom sat me down in this big chair and said, buddy, your dad's never coming home again. And that just rocked me. You know, 6 year old, how do you process that? I thought my dad was dead. Turns out he was an alcoholic. Some abuse with my mom, and her leaving my dad helped him get sober for the past 35, 40 years now. And he became a great part of my life. But I had several childhood events that affected me. And then I went in the military right out of high school. And I said, man, I'm going to get married. I want to have kids. I want to have a farm. I had all these ideas in my head. And I met a girl. We got married. She was diabetic. And they're like, have kids early if you're going to have them. I'm like, okay. So again, I'm like, going to have these kids. I'm never going to put my kids through what I went through, having to tell them mom's not coming home or dad's not coming home. And, you know, I was coming back from a training. I was out of the service, coming back. I had Haley and Emma. They were 3 and 1, cute little blonde, curly haired girls. And my wife says, I'm leaving. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going shopping. Or I thought she was going shopping. She goes, I'm leaving you. And I was 6 years old again. Only this time it's worse, because anybody that has children knows that there's a love that you just can't replace. And same time she left me, the company I was working for went bankrupt. I went bankrupt. This is all in 2004. I lost a house, kids, cars. I went through a divorce that was horrific for me, because I pulled out of that driveway in a U-Haul and I'm watching Haley just cry. And I can see her go, why is daddy leaving me? And Emma was too little to understand. And I couldn't tell that story. I'd be a puddle on the floor. I share that because the ACEs is adverse childhood events. Dan and I have a commonality with different childhood traumas. And that's where it started. And the vast majority of veterans and first responders we work with, there's some form of childhood trauma. Doesn't mean it's your worst trauma, but it starts there. And if you have stuff starting there, the rest gets worse. So from there, you know, I got back on my feet. 8 years later, I met my wife, Sarah.
Take your time, brother.
Absolute love of my life. Amazing woman that we got lucky enough to... I got a son. We had a son with her, and had Fisher. And right after we had Fisher, I was changing careers. I went into financial planning. And I loved it because I could help people. Well, I had to pass this exam in order to have my licenses to be a financial advisor. And I went snowboarding, and I don't remember what happened, but I woke up probably 8-10 minutes after I had concussed myself severely. I had a helmet on, and went to the hospital. They're like, oh, touch your nose, wiggle your toes, go home. You're fine. I drove myself home that night. I don't remember driving home. And then I started studying. So I'm on a computer studying for this exam, 70 hours a week. And I'm an emotional train wreck. I went from extrovert to introvert, crying all the time. Just, I was an emotional basket case. There's my TBI. Well, the next 7 years, you know, we had our ups and downs in marriage, and, you know, we have 3 beautiful children together. And Dan and I, we got going with 22-0, and it was probably 3-4 years in that we were out in Montana working with first responders. And I said, dude, I'm having tension headaches. I've had them since I thought it was the career field of financial planning. And I was having nightmares 4 or 5 days a week that my wife was walking out on me. I never, and we're doing the work. And here I am, the chucklehead, not understanding why this is happening, even though now we're going to talk about this today. And I'm sharing this because it's going to line it up, I think, for a lot of people. But I wasn't telling people about my dreams. I was also waking up every day going, I fucking hate myself. I suck. It was like, it would just be in my head. I wasn't consciously saying it, but it was there. Guilt, mm-hmm. Lots of guilt, right? So Dan runs me through our processes, and I had a grief dump, and tension headaches went away, and nightmares went away. And my life shifted, and my wife, who is absolutely phenomenal woman. I think Dan would agree with that. I'm not saying it because she's my wife. Her and I have fought through a lot. She has now gone through these processes. And I'll tell you, even just in the last month and a half, there's been a few weeds on the emotion side that Sarah and I have plucked out for her that I couldn't have a better marriage or a better partner in my life. And between her on that side and my family and God and my faith and my best buddy running this business, and then the, you know, starting 22-0, which we're ultimately made, that's way bigger than us. We want that to become irrelevant. We want 22-0 to not exist. And we'll explain how we see that happening and why it's going to happen. And we built our Anxiety Guys business to serve the civilian community because we had so many civilians reaching out that felt like they weren't worthy of treatment. The reality was that most of us, our worst trauma is in civilian life. My TBI, my trauma was civilian life. It wasn't my military service. I know first responders are a whole different, it's trauma every day, basically. You're in fight or flight every day of your job. So that's different, but the root is usually there. So the Anxiety Guys is helping us fund the nonprofit, and we see a lot of big things to come. So, you know, I live in central Georgia, just outside of Augusta, right near Dan. We live out in a compound. We call it Rally Point Ranch. We got a gun range and, you know, all kinds of land to hunt on and have fun and get out. We love sitting by a fire, and my kids, my wife and I feel very blessed to be where we're at. And I appreciate you guys having us on.
Well, that is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, how you just explained with the nature, if you go on your website, you can see that, and we'll talk about it. We'll dive into 22-0, the protocols, how we can heal our heroes, how you guys heal heroes every day when we come back from this next break. Stay tuned, everybody.
All right. Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, and the founders and of 22-0, Dan Jarvis and Nick Davis. Both of you shared some very impactful stories prior to the break, which really leads us down a road of how 22-0 had come about and the steps that you were taking to heal our heroes, not only our first responders and our veterans, but Nick, you were talking about civilian life, because that's usually where a lot of the stuff starts when we talk about ACEs and stuff, things that we have never processed. And especially when you get into our age, you know, we grew up without the therapy, you know, the hot chocolate and the marshmallows and the comfort rooms and all those little things where the safe spaces, we didn't know about those. So we had to bury all that stuff. Then when we become a first responder or a veteran, we take all that other added trauma, we pack it on to our initial trauma, and then it just builds up, and it's a pressure cooker ready to explode at any given time. And it could happen 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line. And that's where our triggers come in, all our sensors come in, and you guys found a way to actually relieve that, to soften those triggers, to ease that pain and start you on the right path of healing.
Yeah, so I'll go a little bit into the neuroscience because it's the stuff that I kind of really enjoy. When we started 22-0, we had no idea how we were going to do anything, right? It was ready, fire, aim. That was my gig as an NCO in the Army. We lay down a base of fire, and then we formulated a plan. And so we just started looking for a better way to heal. And went to an event where there was an alternative treatment, and they were doing something new and unique. They had done a lot of research, and I'm sitting in the back. I'm out of law enforcement, so I don't trust people anyway, right? Because cops, we don't trust people unless you're a cop, right? Or a good buddy. So I'm sitting in the back of this room, and this guy's making these claims, and I'm like, yeah, bull crap. There's no way. You're telling me you can fix me, and I've been dealing with this stuff since I was like 4. I mean, seriously. So I called him on it on one of the breaks, and he goes, hey, you want to try it? I said, yeah, heck yeah. If I'm going to recommend this to anybody, I want to experience it. And then I sat in the front of the room. Now that process required you to talk about your traumatic experience. And then when you had the triggered response, they pull you out of that. They break the state, and then they set up a process similar to what we do, just a little bit different. And then after that process was over, you talk about it on the back end. You know, I triggered pretty intense when I first, I mean, I was on a 0 to 10 scale. It was a 10 event. It was a combat related traumatic event. It was a big one. And then when I told that story again, after the work was almost finished, I was waiting for those emotions to drop. And I remember pausing and I looked at the instructor and I'm like, all right, what kind of Jedi stuff is this? Right. Cause I couldn't feel that emotion anymore. Right. Exactly. And then I slept, right, in the sleep restore. So then I started digging, and originally we were supporting that organization and we were funding trainings for therapists to get trained so that we could direct first responders, direct veterans to them. But then we were finding a lot of difficulties, whereas some of them that we were paying for their training weren't even utilizing it. They just got the free training, or we had one guy down South Florida who was charging $3,000 on the front end, and I paid for his training. And he turned one of our veterans away that we sent to him because she didn't have $3,000. And that's when I'm like, all right, something's got to change. And then that's when I started looking in Florida state statute, because every psychologist and therapist says, oh, you can't do that in peer support. You can't do that. So hold my beer, right? That's what I said. And I dug in the Florida state statutes and I started looking. I'm like, oh, there's an exemption here. Nonprofits or 501c3s or churches or government entities are exempt from licensure. And then we got an attorney review it. And then what we did is we went down the rabbit hole of what that process was developed through. It was something called neuro-linguistic programming. And then I started getting trained in that. And then we ended up developing our own processes. And it's all open source material. So we developed our own process and we made it good. That SHOT group was tight. Right? And we started doing research. I'm not a research guy. I'm not like I need to see it. I see the process working as I'm working with somebody. They're healing. They're getting better. We're moving on. And then we had a psychologist say, hey, you guys really need the data. So I'm like, all right, we'll do it. I'll entertain you, Dr. Corbea. We'll get the data. So we took 100 cases. All of them had PTSD. And within 4 sessions, none of them had PTSD anymore. All 100 went from an average score of probably a 56 on the PTSD symptom scale interview version 5, which is in the DSM. Down to a 2.12. That's asymptomatic. Right.
I just want to clarify one thing, and this is where you said you no longer have PTSD. Now, I get it. I don't get it. If that makes any sense, because I don't believe I just truly don't believe you are 100% healed. I believe it's always there. It's just that. There, you know, there's no more triggers. You're able to live with it.
So hey, John,
tell me more about that.
Yeah, John, when did you decide that it couldn't be healed?
I guess after a couple of therapy sessions and, you know, EMDR not working on me. And then, you know, I feel like when Badge of Honor does its workshops, you know, Nick, you started breaking down, telling your story, and, you know, ACEs, I'm a victim of sexual abuse when I was a child, you know, so I went through that and I was never ever able to tell that story. But now that I share my story, I'm more transparent about it. I can tell that story without breaking down. I used to never be able to do that. So I feel that I'm healed in that aspect, but it's still there, if that makes sense, Dan.
Yeah. So we use a non-clinical intervention. All right. We don't use the EMDR model. We don't even allow them to talk about their traumatic experiences. All right. Once the emotion itself is malleable or active, it's malleable. Like when I told my story and I triggered on the front end and then I wouldn't trigger on the back end, that means you're replacing that neural pathway. That neural pathway from that amygdala is releasing. And as that amygdala lets go of that pathway, that's the fight or flight. That's the fear, terror, helplessness. When you see something, when you smell something, and next thing you know, your whole nervous system opens up and it's active. When that disconnects, those triggers are gone, right? And it's a process called memory reconsolidation. So when the memory reconsolidates and you start hitting your REM sleep cycles, the brain reprocesses, right? And it transforms your nervous system, right? You're literally reprocessing your nervous system so that the vagus nerve's not activating. And then the memory and the emotion will split. And then next thing you know, you're better. Nick, why don't you go ahead and add to that, because you're good at explaining.
Well, I also want to share something with John. So what you saw me get emotional was happy emotions. I've been through massive divorce, some really rough relationships, and even my wife and I went through some rough times together. We communicate great. We're good friends. We've always talked, but there's been stuff in our marriage, like any marriage, where it's been tough. And this past week, just recently, there's been, our marriage has been great for a while, but it went good, but it's been good to great. So there's a lot of positive emotion I was feeling when I was like,
okay,
the love that I'm feeling for my wife. Trauma, this is the way I like to explain it. Yes, it's absolutely healable. PTS will disappear. I know that's hard, especially given your seat. And a lot of people that have been through different modalities, protocols, et cetera, when we say that, a lot of times they'll trigger or be like, it's cognitive dissonance. You can't have one belief in your head that it can be healed and then the other belief in your head that it can't be. So usually when we speak, it goes, yeah, that's great. And the person moves on. You experience the event, right? Okay, here's your traumatic event, whether it's 4 years old or 24 years old. If in that moment your brain glues the emotions of fear, terror, or helplessness, those are the trauma emotions. If they get glued together and you don't sleep good that night or the next night or you're self-medicating, the brain kind of goes, oh shit, what do we do with this? And it goes, oh, stick it in the amygdala. That'll be fun. Yeah, for the next 40, 50 years of your life. So now you have a memory in your amygdala that, let's say it was a saber-toothed tiger attacked you, but you could smell pizza when it happened. You could be 50 years old and it happened when you were 10 and you smell pizza and you're like, why am I anxiety? Why am I triggered right now? Because the smell is attached to the memory and they're both in your amygdala. That's not where it's supposed to be. So when we run this process, all we're doing, we're allowing your brain on a subconscious level to reprocess the information. What that means is you don't have to talk about it. We don't allow you to talk about it. We don't even want you to think about it or look at it. We take the initial score. You can feel it. And you go, okay, I can feel it. And then when we're done with the process, the brain has been able to go, holy cow, hold on a minute here. This is old. I was safe before and after this event. And it removes the emotions. It basically unglues the emotions from the memory. And there's a last step to the process that allows the amygdala to release it. The amygdala goes, oh, we're not supposed to own this. The cerebellum is supposed to have the memory. So the bad memory goes to the cerebellum and the emotions go back to the hippocampal region of the brain. What that means is, you've had bad stuff happen to you and you can think about it and you feel no emotion.
Right.
You'll always have the memories. You won't always have post-traumatic stress. It's an injury. And when people start understanding that, I talked to a chief of police the other day, his son's struggling. He's even struggling. And I kind of stepped in a little bit because I didn't know he was a chief at one point, but I said, yeah, the chief's out there. They're like, oh, rub some dirt on it. You're fine. Get back to work. You know, suck it up. Well, some guys can suck it up. Some can't, right? Everybody is different. Like you and I could see think about two kids that go out in the ocean for the first time. Right. And I learned this after my divorce, going to therapy by myself, trying to become a better version of myself. But the two kids go out surfing or go out in the ocean and they get hammered by the wave, right? They're twins. They're identical twins. They come in, they're puking out salt water. And the one twin's like, we could have died. I'm never going in the ocean again. That was the scariest shit ever. Oh my God. And they're a train wreck. And for the rest of their life, they don't sleep that night. So now they've got trauma around the ocean. They won't go in the ocean. They don't even want to see the ocean. The other kid's like, whoa, man, if I had a surfboard, that would have been awesome. It's all how they perceived it in the moment, right? Identical twins. One's got PTS now, the other one doesn't. And it doesn't matter how much you say, suck it up. It's an injury. I said to that chief I spoke to, because he was talking about his son, I said, if your son took a bullet directly to the kneecap, are you going to tell him to suck it up and run the marathon tomorrow afternoon? He goes, that'd be stupid. I said, well, that's kind of like PTS. And I understand that you don't understand what PTS is. So I spent an hour talking to him and explaining it like this. It's an injury. It can be healed. Our process is very unique in what it does. And look, we work in the veteran first responder space when we started 22-0. If what we said we couldn't back up, we would not be on a podcast. We would not be on, we wouldn't have 160, 70 Google 5-star reviews, everybody telling their story. Now, is there going to be a person that comes along that maybe has the brain scrambled and it's not wired right and maybe our process won't work perfect for? Yes, but if you come in, you don't have to believe in what we do. You just have to follow our instructions. But the really neat thing that I think you might want to ask Dan about when the time's right here is that the trauma is a piece of the equation. You get rid of that, but you still got anger and rage issues. You got guilt issues. You got shame. You got self-image issues. You got all this stuff our EMP process or emotions management process goes into that. And the work that we're doing in conjunction with Dr. David Hagedorn from Evoke, the brain map machine, that's the third leg of the stool. That is when you're talking TBIs, like we were talking about, you can get more emotionally regulated. You can absolutely disconnect PTSI every day of the week. And anybody that wants to think we're full of crap, call us up. We'll run you through the process. I guarantee it'll disconnect.
No, I'm super, super excited about it because I've been, you know, everything you've just touched on, I relate to, you know, from the anger, from waking up in the morning and feeling all that, feeling that's all those voices in your head, right? You're supposed to wake up happy, your blessed day, whatever. But man, those things go through your head. And I feel like I'm in a hypervigilant state every single moment of my life.
And let's talk more about that. Let's dive deep because the brain mapping will help to explain more. Because, you know, people are listening to this. They're going, what? We're going to get even deeper than we were already deep. So we're diving in even more. We'll be right back, everybody. We're doing deep dives, deep dives. We'll be back.
Look, when you need to respond to an aggressive situation to protect yourself, your family, or your property, understanding your firearm and legal position are critical. Officers know your skills are only as good as your commitment to training. So know what you're doing, so when you're in a vulnerable situation, we can count on your response. Whether you're a beginner or a licensed gun carrier, Carry in Texas offers basic firearms training, Texas permitless carry courses, license to carry, and basic 2A courses so you can understand the responsibilities, situational awareness, and learn the technical skill required when you carry your firearm. Go to carryintexas.com to find the right course for you. Join me, former United States Secret Service agent Samantha Horwitz, on the range for beginner basics, LTC prep, and range practice. Go to carryintexas.com today. That's carryintexas.com.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. And we have Dan and Nick with 22-0, man. We are really exploring the inner depths, and I'm going to use your terms, getting really deep into post-traumatic stress injuries within our first responders, our veterans, and our civilian population. And I think you guys, you know, you guys hit on everything that I feel each and every day. And, you know, and we've all gone through this. Bad therapists, you know, couch therapy is not working. We live in this hypervigilant state. And then we finally turn around and go, well, this is the norm for me, I guess, right? This is the way I'm supposed to be. And we all know it's not. And we don't want to be that way because we see other people going, hey, why are they happy? And why can't I be happy? As long as you have an open mind, and I do, and I'm willing to dive right into this new therapy or new process that you were talking about, because you can never give up. We don't give up, right? So I'm excited to hear more about this. So thank you guys.
Hey,
yeah,
worth
let's
it.
Let's explore the brain mapping and how that lets you kind of take a bigger look at a person's brain. Well, I wanted to transition from deeper dive into actually what is going on in the moment and how that helps with the protocols that you guys are working with.
So you may not want to do a deep dive into this brain because it's been deep for the last probably decade. I want to bring Dr. Hagedorn back into this, and he might be a good person for you guys to have a conversation with down the road. Brilliant man. He's also an Army veteran, by the way, not Air Force. And he is like volumes and volumes of information. And about 2 years ago, I was like, man, I really would love to see what's going on, because I'd heard about brain studies and how cool it would be to see what's going on, because I've heard that you can see the injury. It's not invisible. So we ended up getting connected with Dr. Hagedorn, and I had a conversation. I said, look, I'm flying to Maryland tomorrow. That's when I lived in Florida, and I'm going to run a female police officer through our protocols. It'd be awesome, you know, if you could like kind of witness that, maybe watch it on a Zoom or whatever. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'm going to close up shop and I'm going to drive to Maryland from Camp Lejeune. So he literally packed his car up within the hour, drove, got a hotel, and met me the next morning with this female police officer. And what he did was he put his Evoke neuroscience brain scan. It's an FDA approved piece of equipment. It's just the cap where it's all the nodes, and it's monitoring
tin
the
electrical.
Like yeah, not quite tinfoil. It's a cloth, but it's got the nodes in it, so it's detecting. Oh, there he goes.
He's throwing me under, one. Right, there you go. Tinfoil
hats. He's throwing me under the bus with that one. So, anyways, Dave connects her to the brain scan and finished up. It took about 35 minutes for him to run from the beginning to the end of the process. And he looks at his computer and he says, "Young lady, you've got one of the worst brain scans I've ever seen." And he goes, "And I work with MARSOC, Marine Special Operations Command, active duty military guys." And he says, "Looking at your subjective scores, they match your brain scan." And you should have seen the level of relief in her voice, because finally somebody believed her.
Oh, okay.
She's a female working in a predominantly male environment, and nobody believed that she was struggling. They thought she was faking it. And now she's got physical evidence. All right. So then I did about an hour and a half's worth of work with her right after the brain scan. And then the next day we came back and I did another hour and a half session with her. And then he hooked up the brain scan again. And when he did the evaluation of the follow-up brain scan, he sent us an email. He says, "Gentlemen, this is profound." He said, "What you're doing is neurological." He said, "This is no way placebo, because it already altered the brain scan within that one day or that day and a half period of time." So he said, "You're getting results in 24 hours that would take 6 months for an EMDR master practitioner to achieve." And he said, "Most master practitioners would never get that level of success." He said, "You guys have built a better mousetrap." So he wants to get more involved. We ended up buying the brain scan, and it's been sitting here and for a year. And this weekend we actually set it up, and you know, we all, you know, one of our buddies, a retired Green Beret, he got his brain scan. I got my brain scan. Nick got his brain scan. Nick, is it all right if I show your scan?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So that's Nick's brain scan. All right. There's a lot of grain, but if you see up here, there's traumatic brain injury, right? So there is traumatic brain injury on his scan. They can also detect heart rate. Now, this is my scan. Notice all the reds and the yellows. All right. There's a distinct difference. Now, Abel, I don't have his, but his was more of a blue color. So all three of us have had similar symptoms, similar events occur, but we all have different responses based on that brain scan. And when Dr. Hagedorn read off to me, "Well, this is what you're probably experiencing," that was like, I felt like he was reading my life story. All right. And I'm just going to read some of them. That brain scan, they can tell poor cardiac health, anxiety, stress, cognitive impairment, concussion, brain injury, hypertension, hyperglycemia. All right. Sympathetic over arousal, that constant state of arousal, inability to sustain attention, poor stimulus responsivity, and then emotional control, lack of emotional control and dysregulation, concussion, brain injury. All right. And then dopaminergic, a lack of dopamine. I'm not getting dopamine. He's looking at the scan. He goes, "You don't have PTSD. You don't have any of those things. That's all brain from brain injury." They're similar and how they present emotionally. And they're like, you know, Nick can share with you my story this last, you know, 5.5 years. It's up and down, and we've done so much work. And I'm like, why am I still feeling this way? Now I actually have a definitive reason why I feel this way. And it's not because I'm crazy. It's because I got rocked multiple times, blast injuries, brain injuries, football, TBI.
The different, like our other friend that came with us, he's like flatline, like no emotions, right? He's very just steady Eddie. It's all good. My effects are a little different with some of the stuff, but that's why David said to Dan, he's like, "Thank God you guys have the processes that you have, because you probably would have stroked out or had a heart attack or worse. Maybe it had taken his life at this point," because you had post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression on top of this stuff.
And the TBI. Yeah.
Right. So that's where we're trying to, we're not the answer for everything. When we talk about post-traumatic stress and things like emotional, the big emotions, like I triggered a rage every day, we can disconnect those things. It doesn't mean that we got the silver bullet for every single thing that you're experiencing. If you're somebody that's had traumatic brain injuries, that is, and or hormone dysregulation. Like our friend had a lot of hormone issues that were affecting his heart and the way his body works. Now, I'm not the neuroscience guy, but I can tell you when Dr. Hagedorn explained, "Hey, see this part of your brain? Like tinnitus." Most of us say tinnitus, it's tinnitus. I have it. I'm surprised you can't hear it right now. Dan's got it. our friend has it, but depending on what's causing it, and Dr. Adorn explained, if it's this part of your brain right in here, it's getting overstimulation. So there's noise when there shouldn't be noise. And I'm doing it no justice right now. He's like, we can fix that. Now I'm like, what you talking about, Willis? We can fix that. You know? And then, but then he goes into what we need to do and he explains it. And you know, when somebody's explaining something in a way that they have no doubt about it, this is what needs to happen. Like an auto mechanic. Yeah. You know what? Your brakes aren't working because of this, this, and this, and this, and they know it, right? That's Dr. Hagedorn. He is not going to say we can fix this. He's going to say what needs to happen. Without a doubt, we all walked away from this weekend going, holy crap, this needs to be implemented. Think about a law enforcement agency. A chief says, you know what? Any new guys coming in, all my guys right now are getting scanned. Scan them. You got a baseline, right? You get guys out of the academy. They all get scanned. They go through our processes. You don't carry any of your childhood bullshit into your career. That's the first starter. You're going to get traumatized probably at some point. Something pops up, pop the cap on, run the scan. It will even detect if you're suicidal. There is a marker for that. He can see anxiety. He can see post-traumatic stress. He can see the suicidal marker. So when your guys go, no, I'm fine, sit down. We're mandating it. Boom, there goes the scan.
On that, we got to take our last break because we're running out of time. But that is a very interesting concept. And like we talk about, lots of things that should be brought to departments. This sounds like one of them. We will be right back after this very quick break.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the health engineer right here on the Upbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Upbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. And the guy, the founders of 220, Dan and Nick, you know, throughout the show, we've been talking about post-traumatic stress injuries along with TBIs and everything that leads up to, God forbid, those thoughts of suicide or those rages or those things that we cannot control through our life. And you guys finally made a breakthrough. You know, a lot of people have gone through EMDR, doesn't work for some people. This sounds so positive on so many levels. You know, before we left, Sammy, you were talking and Nick, you were talking about maybe putting this on the rookies. I mean, if it only takes 35 minutes, I mean, you sit in a doctor's office longer than that waiting to be called in. Why can't we check on them periodically throughout their careers? And I think that's but one question I do have is, is there
it has to help though, John. It's not what? Just check it. It's not just checking on them, like, you know, pre-employment and throughout employment. It's having the protocols so when the stuff shows up, because, you know, we're hearing now about the guys who serve on SWAT with the same concussion blast injuries. You gotta have. It's great that we now know. Now
it should be part of that periodic medical. You know, it should go on their yearly medical, like you do everything else to check how it's done. But are there when you put the scan on, are there the questions? How does the brain get stimulated? How does that happen?
So what they're gonna do is you're gonna look at a computer screen, right? And you're gonna have your cap on, and it's all the electrodes are active. It's checking the electricity, and you're gonna go through a battery of tests. First thing you're gonna do is you're gonna do a questionnaire, stress level, neurological, how's your sleep kind of thing? Do you get stress reactions? You know, they're going to ask those series of questions. Are you depressed? And then you're going to just basically focus on an image on the screen. All right. And then you're just looking at it. All right. And then you do it. You close your eyes and you're looking at it for 5 minutes or when you're closing your eyes. And then there's another thing where they have a big circle, a little circle, a big square and white noise. And you're to hit the little button when you see the big circle and it's flashing images and it's looking for your reaction times. And based on your reaction times, what happens in the brain when you see a specific image? Because it lights up that part of the brain. You know, what happens when you hear something? That a part of the brain lights up. So they're getting a map of the actual brain. And they have a picture at the very end that they can go back and look at and say, oh, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's PTS. But here's the thing. We've got to stop labeling it as a disorder, right? Because it's not a disorder, right?
Yep.
It's a neurological injury. So now what we're doing is we're looking at a scan and we see, all right, 31 days ago, you were in a critical incident. you're showing some things, so let's make you more efficient at your job. Go over, see Nick, run the protocol, go back to work like nothing ever happened.
That's amazing. And a lot of what you're talking about is, you know, we've scratched the surface. We got to have you guys back on because we haven't even talked about anxiety, guys, and the amazing work that you're doing there with civilians. But if you guys go on to 22, it's the number 220, it's spelled out .org for everybody listening. You will see all of this, all the big words with the three letter acronyms. It's all explained, and you can reach out to Nick and to John, to Dan, to better understand what this is and get into the community, get started. Don't put it off. And if you're wondering, you know, they can come on here and say, of course it works. Raising my hand, I did it. It works. Okay. And it doesn't take 6 months to a year. I had relief, and I noticed a lot of things after one session that Nick and I worked together. So there's just amazing things to come. So if you guys are willing, will you come back on the podcast? We can set another date to dive further in, because there's so much more. And I think the people, the first responders, and everybody listening deserve to know about this. Also, if you're a civilian, you need to know about it too, because everybody needs healing. Everybody's been through the shitter at some point in their life. And we just can't thank you guys enough for years of time, for coming up with this protocol, for healing the numbers that you've healed. And just, dang, just keep going, because this is profound. And like I said, I did it.
Well, see, Nick and Dan, I really want to try this protocol because, like I said, over 50 years, probably 50 years of hypervigilant state. You know, I think, Sam, you only saw it one time while I was out of it, and that was during that equine therapy, and I felt weird, and I didn't feel normal to me anymore, and it was crazy. And I'm looking for that weird, crazy feeling again, because I did enjoy
good.
It.
Weird, crazy feeling.
It was a good
feeling.
Good. It was a great feeling, but it didn't sustain. It didn't last. So I'm really, really excited about this process. And hopefully once I can go through it, I can share that with everybody else and really give you guys a big positive on this, because you already got the positive from Sam. And I would like to be able to do the same thing as well and really bring this to the forefront.
You got your work cut out, guys. I'm kidding. No.
Challenge accepted.
You got it. Dan and Nick, thank you again so much. Again, folks, reach out to them at 220.org. It's on the screen. They also have another website. I'm going to pop that up real quick. Anxietyguys.com for civilians. Check it out. Seriously, this stuff works. And we will have you guys back on for sure.
Yes.
To keep going with this conversation. So thank you so much. Be healthy, be well. And thank you for what you do.
Appreciate it, guys. You're saving lives. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Man, Sam,
all right.
It is
awesome. And you know, we are connected to so many groups, and I just hope to be able to bring everybody that we're connected with, you know, that's on our website and talk about this so that even more people can take advantage of this. And one of the groups is right here, Carry the Load. We got to thank Carry the Load. We're part of their Continuum of Care project that we do with them every year here in Dallas at the Dallas Memorial March for veterans, for first responders, for families. Check them out, carrytheload.org. Our other partner at Eagle Oak Retreat Foundation. Hey, for all of you veterans, current first responders, or if you're a retired first responder, Eagle Oak is hiring right now. Warrior Path. I should put on my glasses. The struggle's real, folks. Maybe Nick and Dan have something for my eyesight, but Warrior Path instructors. So if you are a veteran or a retired first responder, you want to give back in a huge way, reach out to Eagle Oak Retreat Foundation. And we've put stuff up on our social so you can check them out. Rest for First Responders has a tactical triage next Monday, October 10th, here in Dallas. You can find out more by visiting their website, which is the word rest, the number 4, first responders all spelled out. Check that out. We'll put that up on social. So you need to connect with us on social to know everything that's going on and get involved, get healed, stay involved, keep true to your heart of service, and check out our events page because we're all over the place. abadgeofhonor.org. We got an amazing fundraiser coming up. Thanks to Patriots Poor out here in Rockwall the whole month of November. But check out our events page for where we are. We got to thank Nick and Dan from 220 again for coming on and explaining their incredible protocol to all of our veterans and first responders out there. Thank you. We are praying for you every single day. Thank you for keeping us safe here and abroad. John, take us home.
Well, I just want to thank Nick and Dan once again for that inspired hope. I can't wait to try this. I think it's going to be the wave of the future. Don't forget Walk the Bridge on the 15th of October in Fort Worth and in Rockwall. Please come on out and join us as we walk and heal together. And we can discuss what Nick and Dan have already, we could share a little bit more about what they did. And you know, that just for everybody out there, a fire alarm box is not a door handle, just to let you know. It does not open up a door. Just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. and until next week, man, if you could be anything in the world, just please be kind. Thanks, Sam. It was a great show.
Awesome. See you guys next week. Take care, everybody.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBN Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.